6603. Is a disclosure of any pecuniary interest to general nature thereof? Seeing none, moving on. Adoption of the published agenda. Looking for a mover? Wes, seconder? Brinjan? Those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Item 4, adoption of the minutes from the previous meeting. Again, looking for a mover? Brinjan? Seconder? Don? That the minutes of the Parks Recreation Advisory Committee of December 4th, 2019 be adopted as presented. Those in favor? Opposed? Carried. I guess item 5.1, the 75,000 parks improvement, that would be done.
Sure.
You got your breath, are you okay?
Yeah, no.
Get your Russian here.
Usually, my usual tardy self. I think at the last meeting we had identified the fact that the Parks Department had put in a placeholder of 75,000, which was actually, and I believe Kevin has it included in the report, was actually for Warren Mickle Park, mainly to develop some accessibility. And I think a wise move by council was that instead of the department sort of solely looking at where those monies might be spent, it would come back to the committee. So the 75,000 was put into a parks reserve. The goal of that, I think, would be to certainly, as we had money identified in the 2019 budget for Baldwin Park, that we'd want to spend the 75,000. But I think the opportunity now, and certainly the understanding I'm getting from the clerk's office and from that particular direction, was that we're not necessarily earmarking this for Warren Mickle. So this is 75,000 in Parks Reserve that this committee could basically help the department, help administration address in the sense of projects. The reason I wanted to include, and it is in the package, the reason why I wanted to include our decision for Warren Mickle was based on recommendations from the Parks Master Plan, as it was outlined from the standpoint of you know, where some of these parks were. But the 2020 capital budget request, it did outline sort of the details of why we had prioritized Warren Mickle over some of the other parks elements. So I just thought I would make sure that you're aware that that was in the package. I can go through some of those if that's the will of the committee, but it certainly is not something that we're holding any kind of ground on. That was basically a decision sort of on the process that we had at the time, and I think wisely that process has changed, and those monies will go to reserve, and then we'll be able to look at other parks projects as they may suit the committee.
Just further that, yeah, it was actually me that I had concerns with it being designated a rate to Warren Mickle because it's evolving. I talked to Kevin about it. But, well, sorry. You can't hear me? Well, they can hear me, I'm sure. Warren Mickle, I don't know if anybody knows where Warren Mickle is. So great. It's.
I was just going to ask. Yeah,
Amherst Point, yeah. So you follow McLeod down.
One of my foxes' homes?
When you make the bend and follow the cloud range in the back to
yes.
Lakewood.
Right, right, right. Yeah, sorry. Right. I guess I should have directed that at Fox.
So,
okay, now.
So anyhow, it was brought before council during budget, and with namely specifically the 75,000 earmarked for this particular park, and I had apprehensions on a kind of table that we all, council, decided that maybe just sit on it right now. So I wanted to come back to this committee, and we can do our homework and make sure we invest it in the right way where it needs to go. Warren Mickle Park's right along Big Creek, and with the, Phil can talk to it. We've with our high water levels, it's most of it where the parking lot is off McLeod is always underwater. It comes back in, and you can't access the playground at the back end. So with that being said, it's going to be high waters again this year. Doing boardwalks and making that nature reserves. I know that we did our Great Spaces, Great Places presentation. I know just up further around down Creek Road, we're going to be doing the same kind of a feature with a trail and kind of an observatory there too. I just wanted to make sure we weren't mimicking the same thing, especially with a very recluse, and I say recluse in the fact that it's a hidden, you didn't know where it was at. And most people
knew where it was at.
Unless the people that live at Amherst Point or people that are going to Lakewood or drive back there to get the back roads to their houses. So I just wanted to make sure that we did our homework before we invested any money, like boardwalks and things like that, because I don't know if we can, in regards to the shoreline, you know, there was mention of berming and things like that. I know IRCA would have to be consulted, and there's a whole bunch of things that would have to come into place. So, anyway, that was just a little further to Phil said.
Sure. And if I may, and thanks for that, Peter, I think we actually, when we did the parks tour that most of us were on, certainly one of the things recognized from Warren Mickle, and it's not a $75,000 fix, but really was the fact that the park was inaccessible from the parking lot. So, you know, as you're trying to build out and you're looking at park elements, I think one of the decisions that Annette and I said is that we got to do something at Warren Mickle. So if we're going to do something and we're going to sort of prioritize Warren Mickle, then it would include other elements. We certainly could address the accessibility issue at Warren Mickle for a lot less than $75,000. The $75,000 did include things like boardwalks, some naturalization components. There's an old playground or backstop that the Parks Master Plan had said, you know, take out. So as we go through what that $75,000 in reserve is, I mean, we may still want to consider elements of Warren Mickle just to make sure the park is accessible. It was, if we're going to do work there, then why don't we take it to the next step? The playground unit is in relatively good shape. I think we had scheduled some funding to remove the stone and put in engineered wood fiber, which gives you a much better performance in the sense of some of the CSA requirements, the head drop rule and things like that. But, you know, having said that, I mean, Big Creek is going to be an issue for a while, and that was sort of the reason why we put it on the top of the priority list. But certainly not... Certainly, that specific element, not at 75.
In regards to accessibility, though, right now it wasn't usable for most of last year's season, correct? Did we ever decommission officially as a town for safety hazards or use at your own risk?
We actually moved some material in there and made some improvements so that people could use it from the parking lot. But they were very rudimentary. And as a matter of fact, it was all soil. So, you know, soil saturated and stuff too. So it needed some work, and it really does warrant some sort of either hard path or even a soft path, a wood chip path. But that was really one of the first elements to delineate from the parking lot. So I don't know how much use it got.
The major part of the playground was still, it was just the accessibility issue. The interior of the park was never a safety issue or that type of thing. It was just from the parking lot getting into the park was the only area that was determined, you know, iffy.
Yeah.
And there's the secondary entrance at the end of, but it's not a throughway. It's a dead end, right? And
there's no parking
available at all. So
walk-ins can, yeah. That's where the walk-ins were accessing. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So the 75 grand or portion of it specifically, or that was earmarked for Warren Mickle, was for the accessibility factor of it, not, because I was going to say the equipment's in good shape, so it's more, or developing the back half of it as well.
Actually, the majority of the 75 was to develop the park into more of a naturalized space.
Okay.
So if we're going to deal with it being along Big Creek, we're going to deal with routine sort of high water to develop kind of a swamp wetland complex. We've had some wants and some, we think, some interest in creating sort of a butterfly corridor or pollinator corridor, huge opportunities to plant swamp wetland species trees. So a lot of that was actually to develop the park to make it more of a usable park in the sense of a walking loop, you know, that would, we saw even the opportunity to put some small ponds in with little boardwalk sections and things like that. So actually, the 75, I think, as far as the accessibility component, we are probably only looking at 10 or 15. And then we're looking at about 5,000, I think, for engineered wood fiber for the playground unit to get us out of the piece-stone business.
Other questions, comments?
So 20,000, would that be doable? I mean, just to get it up and running again so people can use it for this year? Until we figure out more of a solidified plan, like, I mean... Can we do the butterfly observatory?
Well, and a lot of that can evolve just naturally. I mean, a lot of that, you know, based on, you know, if we're going to make some changes to Warren Mickle, one of the things we want to do is we'd want to do a public consultation session like we did for Bowdoin. You know, just make sure that the community's on board with that. And, you know, some of this could be as easy as shutting off the moors, right? You know, and letting some areas naturalize and see what sort of evolves itself. $20,000 certainly would take care of the accessibility issue. But again, I mean, I don't want to, I think we have an opportunity here to do maybe a number of things in a number of parks. And one of the things I think we need to do as a committee is come up with sort of the short shopping list and say, you know, this is, you know, what about this? What about this? You know, shade structures, right? Shade structures, we probably can put up shade structures reasonably for about $20,000. You know, so we've got some parks that we visited, right, that don't have a shade structure. So if that's kind of where we want to go as a committee in the sense of that $75,000, we certainly can look at those kind of things. But I think it really is now, the nice thing is it's within the realm of the committee with support from administration to determine how that money gets spent.
Dennis?
Well, I was going to say something similar to that, like if we, of the $75,000, if we take $20,000 to make Mickle Park accessible, and then we're left with $55,000. Do you have a short list at the ready, or we would task you with coming up with a short list of?
Yeah. So and again, we have and that's just saying like taking the piece stone out and making, because it actually provides accessibility, as well as a better safety. So we can come back with harder numbers certainly and say, you know, if Warren Mickle still, those elements are still something we want to consider, we're going to prioritize that. We can come back and tighten that up a little bit. But we do have a short list of things. And some of these things we've talked about, kayak launch, right, or an accessible kayak launch, something at Angstrom Park, you know, in the sense of getting people access to Detroit River. We've had talk about shade structures. We've had talk about trail improvements. So we could certainly develop a short list and bring it back to the committee. And that would be easy direction for you guys to request. I mean, I know we got the rule right. You'd request that of us through council, but I think we could do that fairly simply. And I think it's a great exercise. So, but if anyone on the committee had a priority or something that is kind of a project that you see as a pet project, send it to us, right? And let us at least try to get some sense of numbers and ballpark logistics.
Peter.
And if we don't, would we be able to still get some of these smaller projects off for the summer so they would be accessible for the residents if we hold off till like next meeting? Just with your short list and with more solid numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly, I mean, the thing, so even the Bodwin Park, if we use that as an example, which is kind of a good example because council had basically designated $170,000 for 19, right? So by the time we look at the project, we flesh out some ideas, we bring it to committee, which is exactly the process we went through. We then take it to the public, right, get the public input, and go down that route. We have a project for the year. And I think that's probably the way to do this. The only thing what we may be doing is we may be looking at two or three or four projects potentially. But yeah, the intent, I think the intention for me and for the department would be to spend the $75,000 this year, because I don't think the park reserve is meant to be a long-standing thing. This was kind of council's commitment. Instead of us saying we got to vote, you know, Bodwin Park was easy because they took all the, Annette had to take all the playground equipment out because it had failed. So all of a sudden there's a real need, you know. So it was an easy priority, as an easy target for council. I think this time we're probably looking more at, you know, not sort of that critical element. I might consider the accessibility issue for the park critical, but that's only one little aspect of this of that total package.
Kevin?
So for in your package, it did include from the Parks Master Plan Recommendation 41, which does speak to some of the more high priority playgrounds for renewal efforts. So that included Anderton Park, Bowwood Park, which now is dealt with, Briar Ridge Park, Golf View, Jack Purdy, Skideller, and Warren Mickle. So if you were looking to focus, those might be pre-identified for you. I don't know if that's the direction that administration will head, but that's there for you.
It focuses on accessibility. Are there funds available from another source other than the parks budget?
That's certainly something else we would definitely have to look at as well. And there are funds from accessibility committees, from our own accessibility committee, and from other sources. We certainly would want to look at that too.
I think then, if it's the will of the committee, we would probably best to defeat this motion and then to send another motion to ask Council direct the administration to come up with a short list of needs that we could work on. Okay. I just informed we don't have to feed it because it's not on the floor. So, Wes?
Just a question from an accessibility standpoint. Who's driving there? I guess is my question, and I don't really expect an answer, but I'm wondering if it's the people that live around down McLeod by the concession queue, because there's a park over there, and I don't know what the name of it is. I'm also not sure if it even has one, but I believe it's between Clarence and Essex Boulevard on... What do you know the name of?
Bar Point.
Bar Point.
So that's one that's been... Like, I'm wondering, are people driving from Bar Point because the park's not... I mean, I remember going there when I was a kid. Are they driving because there's more space over there? Like, is that... Or is there improvements we can make for a lesser cost at that park to alleviate any... I mean, accessibility obviously has to be dealt with, for sure.
It's a good question, and to be honest, you know, we don't keep data. I mean, it's something that eventually would be nice to be able to do, but we don't keep data specifically on a usership at parks. Now, some of the parks we do know that the usership is based on programming, right? So, you know, the Libro, for example, we have a number for that because we know how many kids attend soccer and, you know, skating and, you know, hockey and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of anecdotal, but one of the drivers for it is the fact that municipalities are required to be completely inclusive, accessible by 2025. So we as administration tend to where you find the opportunity to put in an exclusive element. The accessibility issue isn't a physical disabilities accessibility issue from the parking lot. It's actually just being able to access.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The engineered wood fiber in the playground unit itself, that actually is an accessibility issue. So right now, if you were a member of that community and you were bound to a wheelchair or had a child or... somebody who wanted to use the playground in a wheelchair. You can't push it across the P-stone, but you can across engineered wood fiber. So this was one of the elements from Bodwin as well, right? We had the swing sets that had the sand and things like that. But also it gives you a much higher value for safety. And I call it the head drop rule. It's probably
a drop test.
Drop test, yeah.
You're right.
So that's the distance right from highest point to ground and how much energy is absorbed by the base.
I thought you meant to drop a head.
Yeah.
Is there, at Bar Point, is there the...
P-stone.
It's there already? Cool.
Everything else, Bar Point, as far as, it's not very old, and everything is in awesome shape. The only thing that ever gets denied by our inspections is the P-stone.
Gotcha.
So Bar Point is in perfect condition, except for, and I mean, we road sell it up and keep it safe, but it would be... it's still not wheelchair accessible, even if we rode it till it. Somebody engineered wood fiber would get that park totally accessible.
And I guess that's my question, because there's a group home around the corner from that park, closer to that park than So I don't know. I grew up there, played it my whole life. I can't remember their names though. So I'm just wondering if that may be, or if I mean, talking, taking care of both those. But that was just.
Yeah.
In regards to accessibility, is that usually complaint-driven for the town to invest? I'm saying because it's small pocket communities. Like, is it like family would come forward and say, listen, we have young children and a couple in a wheelchair, and therefore we're more prompted to invest dollars right away to make it accessible for fear of whatever? Or is it mandated that all parks will be handicap accessible?
I think I'll pass it to Kevin.
Sure. So when we have a complaint or a concern that's raised to us, we are obligated to address it. Anytime we do a significant redevelopment of parkland, we are obligated to meet those standards. For existing parklands, there is no obligation to meet that, but it is a best practice. We do know that when you do so, you see the usership increase, and you know that's really what the parks there serve, right? So while it's not a requirement, it's probably a best practice.
Any other questions, comments? I'm willing to make a motion to the floor to direct council, direct administration. Don?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. To ask council to have administration come up with a short list of projects for parks from the $75,000 put into the parks reserve after budget talks.
Second.
Will that include a breakdown to make Mickle accessible?
Correct. I would think that would be one of them, I would hope.
We've already done the legwork for Mickle, so yeah. We certainly include Mickle, but we would come up with a number of others, too. So. And if anybody, and again, I just encourage anybody from the committee who has an idea that we should be investigating, forward it to us, and we'll include it in the shortlist.
Just Andrew, and something for, I mean, it is on that list, but yep. it's in pretty rough shape.
Yep. I think Angstrom Park, I mean, Annette and I have certainly talked about that. The ability to put a handicap, full accessible kayak launch in there is something that we've been talking about exploring. So I think there's some pretty cool things. $75,000 isn't a lot of money, but I think we can do, I think you can really weigh things out, right? And I think with the backing of the committee, we can start to really justify some of those elements.
Can we get a second or first get the motion on the floor? Second by Peter. Wes and Peter.
I just flipped to what Kevin said. Like, didn't we get this already in the parks? Like, what are we asking of administration? Didn't we get that already? Isn't that what you were talking about, the recommendation 41? Like, there's Andrew, Mowgli, Briar Ridge, Gulf View, Jack Purdy. I'm not pronouncing that one. Ward Mickle. Like, they're already listed there. Maybe do we want to look at the option of any additional ones we want? Like, have administration see if there's anything else that's come to light. But, I mean, that's the short list right there, isn't it?
But I think more that's a short list of parks, but I think you'll come back with a short list of potential projects.
Okay, specifics for parks, not necessarily like this park could use love, but what specific?
Correct, like 5,000 could get you this year, and 10,000 could get you this year, and then not on that list, I think Angstrom Park, I think that's a fantastic idea, that one.
Peter?
I was going to say otherwise. I got reservations, not to the kayak launch, but realistically, if people are going to take a kayak or a canoe, the river's pretty volatile. Currents are crazy right now. I wouldn't encourage anybody to go on a kayak. You got a shipping channel, you've got active boats, you got personal watercraft, you got a lot of action happening. But what we've got is all of our wetlands in behind. And taking a canoe or a kayak down Big Creek, I would be more adventurous into looking into Mickle Park if there's an accessibility there, tying in a little bit to what you're talking about, the naturalized part of it. Because there's parking. Angstrom, there's no real parking. It's dangerous corner at Texas and Front Road. There's too many concerns, I think, with Angstrom. I like the kayak launch idea. I just don't know if that's the priority area or spot
well,
to put it.
You need to let us wow you then.
You
No, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. We've actually been doing a little homework on that. The current out in front of Angstrom is actually called the Lime Kill Current. I have no idea what lime kill is, but anything that has the word kill in it can't be, doesn't have a friendly connotation. But we are actually meeting with, and actually we've had a number of requests, just a general email us, some that Donna sent us, people really interested in the whole kayaking element in the Detroit River as well. So we're going to, again, we will have to get some homework done, and some of these elements of the list, at least if we can get the list sort of identified is kind of my thinking, and then we'll do pros and cons. We'll be able to give you some sense of, because we're going to talk about Ranta as well, which also has an opportunity. But then the other thing is any of these things that we do, we've got to basically drive through a risk management process as well. So, but yeah, the current in front of that space is called the Lime Kill Current. So take that at whatever value you want.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
Lime as in, like, fruit lime?
I have no idea the background.
No, that I'm not confirmed. That's lime?
L-I-M-E.
Okay.
K-I-L-L. Yeah, lime kill. Yeah.
Lime kill.
Do some mines underneath.
Maybe.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll go to 5.2. To 5.2 KW Ranta Memorial Park Improvement Fund, Phil.
Yeah, we had put this on the list as well. There was, I guess, a discovery for me. I think probably there are people with history on this in the room. But as we had done, again, our parks tour and looking at some opportunities, that there actually is a fund that was specifically set aside for a Ranta Marina. Kevin and Justin Russo, our treasurer, did some homework for us. And I was quite surprised. The current value of the reserve fund for this park, which actually must be spent in the park. It was based on a donation or a bequeathment from Lisa Chappas, is currently valued at $170,458.05. That's a fairly big chunk, considering that what we're doing at Bodwin was about the same value. So I did get a bit of a breakdown on how that went and some of the requirements in the sense of the bequeathment, but really it's for the sole development of Ranta Park. I don't know if there's any additional challenges to that, but we actually had got a copy of the will, and there are some fairly detailed itemized items here from the Chappas estate. So with that, I didn't bother doing it on a slide because I just wanted to give you a sense. So that is that's Ranta, Detroit River. The blue line, if you can see it, is the town of Amherstburg's boundary. The playground unit is relatively new, right, Annette? Mm-hmm. It's in good shape, so we're not spending $150,000 on a new playground unit.
Just Keystone again.
Yeah. So the town boundary basically borders the marina. It actually has a water lot, right? And then the canal alongside of it is also within the Ranta Park Marina. And as you can see, it's a large chunk of grass. We're Annette's crew, or I guess we contract that one, is, we're cutting 12 acres of grass at cost. There would be a number of things that you could look at developing in this park. The reason I brought this is the exercise that Annette and I, with other support, is that essentially we take that drawing, we put an onion skin over top of it, and then with some scaling, we say, okay, where would you put a dog park? Where would you put a trail system? Where would you put a kayak launch? Where would you put a boardwalk? Where would you put, and the onion skin gives you the advantage of being able to see through it. So I think if we were directed by this committee, one of the things that we could do is, again, much like we did with Bodwin, is we could bring some concepts back on what that might look like. Or we can make this an exercise of the committee, and I'd be happy to do that as well. Set up a separate meeting, and literally you just sort of sit down with pen and paper and crayon and you spitball. Because right now, there's really no expectation in the Parks Master Plan. There's no real expectation. We have a number of components, but and nothing says that we have to do anything this year or the next anyway. But at $170,000, as we've talked about moving some of these projects forward, there is a real opportunity. And the only restriction that you have is it's currently $170,000, although other fundraising sources, other sponsorship sources could be looked at. But it has to be spent here. So that's the only two restrictions that we currently have right now. So really, it's a blank slate. So that's the exercise that we can undertake, and we'd be willing to undertake. And you can just pass that around even if you want, just to give you a sense of it. So I just wanted to let the committee know that the funding is fairly substantial. We've had conversations about a number of other elements, and we could see where this takes us. The only thing we'd require, again, and not that administration wouldn't do it, basically on our own accord, as an element of addressing elements of the Parks Master Plan or whatever, but we could be directed to bring something back to this committee.
Are the funds restricted to development, or can they be like a sinking fund established for long-term maintenance?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, it would look like the fund is basically, it would be one, the both, or right now there's really nothing to maintain, right, other than the playground unit. So I think right now it hasn't been detailed that much, and I think that's where there may be some consideration. I know this was a politically hot item, so I think we'll have to be sensitive to that. So if this is actually a capital build, it doesn't specifically say a capital build. It basically says, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but it basically indicated that these are funds to be used for the betterment of Ranta Park.
I think the exact terms are improvement and maintenance. maintenance. So we've never used it for maintenance. We did use about half of the fund to build the playground unit that's currently there. That's in pretty great shape, I understand. And the fund has rebounded and is now back to basically where it was originally. So it grows very well if it's if someone's left. So.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we didn't have to spend it all, and we could keep some funds. So if you've got a kayak launch or something, and there's a motorized unit and it breaks down, you don't have to go to council funds or town funds. You would have that fund that would be building, generating revenue on its own, right? If it sits in a bank and would pay for those repairs on an ongoing basis. It would be a debt-free park for it forever, potentially.
Just looking at the, like, looking extended from that on Google Maps, like, there's a land right through here. Like, as far as a kayak launch go, like, isn't this a prime, like, is that, I mean, to me, I'm like, I know it's, I understand 100% that people are about to drown and probably don't want to put it there, but, like, there's the land stretches much further past, like, this over here, like it stretches over to this portion. So you've got, this is all.
You've cruised out of there before on a boat, haven't you?
Years ago, man. I'm not a seaman.
It goes around and around, and there's an island, and it brings you back out into the. You eventually get into the river.
No, for sure. But what I'm saying is, from a kayaking standpoint, there's a lot of room there, where there's still, like, you're protected from the current until here.
Yeah, but you're not even doing circles. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it looks bigger on paper than what it is. You're not going to just paddle.
It looks even bigger on a computer. I'm telling you, there's a lot of room back there. Anyway, that was just my...
We actually know there's a lot of kayaking there, and some of it is done with the, I guess, with the participation of the marina, and some of it not. Some of it is basically people trespassing to find opportunities to kayak. So, and the sidewater channel... You know, might be an ideal location again for a very quiet water spot to launch, and then it would eventually get you to the river itself.
Like, does the town have any authority to stop people from going out into the? Because, like, you've got the whole back in here is all protected from the land. Like, there's land that goes across this way. And there's all kinds of water over here. Can we stop anyone from going out there on a kayak? We can't stop them anyway, right?
No, we're just providing opportunity to launch a kayak. How you navigate it, how you use it is. Just like we provide opportunity for people to skate on the rink, right?
Yep.
Peter?
Has the town looked at a joint user agreement with the owners of Ranta, the one half of it anyhow, in regards to accessibility for kayaks, so nobody's, in theory, trespassing? Or is there a fee that can be paid, or...?
Not that I know of.
Is it also something that could be set up for non-residents? They would have to pay a fee, and residents could get, like, some type of kayak. Is there any way to restrict access to it? Because I can see a lot of people from out of town coming in and using this, that our facilities will be developing something.
Typically, passive park use, we don't have any opportunity to charge for. The cost of collecting the fee would be greater than the fees we collect, right? So having a staff person and things like that. And again, you know, kayak would be just one element. You know, we've got a big open space there. I know that. There's a dog park has been mentioned a number of times. The town doesn't sort of officially have a dog park. There's a fairly big space there. I think going back to your sort of comment, a dog park is actually something now that you actually can generate quite a bit of sponsorship funds from. That has been successfully done at a number of parks now in the region, mainly supported by insurance companies, health insurance for your dog, which is kind of a crazy element. Or again, it could just be, you know, park that is passive. You develop a nice trail system in it. People jog. People, you know, make it sort of dog friendly, I guess. So again, sky's the limit, and it's a blank piece of paper right now. And there's 170,000. So I just wanted to make sure that the committee, you know, was aware of that, and we can be directed one way or the other. Disc golf going into Bowdoin Park, and the person who has helped us develop the disc golf course at Bowdoin actually lives just down County Road 8 from Bowdoin, and he is actually a professional disc golf course designer. By good luck, So where do you find that? This is a guy that has developed the course at Lakeview Park in Tecumseh. So they have an interest. So there's a number of things that potentially you could look at. I mean, it could exclusively be a disc golf park that, you know, people would attend.
Anyone willing to make a motion to direct council to have administration come up with some ideas on that? Or would you rather do it as a separate meeting where we get to kick around some ideas?
I just, he said dog park. In my first meeting that we had, I talked to Dylan right after. Well, that's something I'd love to see. Just that's my lifestyle with two dogs. And to me, this is a good location for it because parking dogs, there's not a lot of houses there versus other options around. So for me, that's like 100%. I would love to see something like that. But I'm just one person that.
We're looking at the process, how we're going to do this. Brent?
Yeah, I think I would like to see it as a project for the committee to have a look at, and I think it is a really good opportunity. Like you said, it's basically a blank slate, so I would like the committee to be involved.
Did you want to make a motion to that effect, man?
Sure.
Did you want to restate it, or?
No. You want to help me wordsmith that a little bit?
I mean, we don't need a motion to bring it back to another. To keep it within the committee, if that's the intention here. So, yeah.
Do we need a motion to set up a meeting outside our regular meetings?
Oh, sure, yeah. If you want to call a special meeting.
Would it have to be a special meeting? Isn't there all sorts of restrictions of what is a meeting and so on?
That would be fine.
Okay, I'll make a motion to, I guess, request a special meeting to look at the development of Ranta Park.
Seconder?
I just have a question first. Wouldn't it be more, I mean, again, I'm all new to this, but like, I mean, for me, our opinions are great, but at the end of the day, we're citizens. Shouldn't we just get a public consultation as far as what people want to see there? Because to be honest, like between dog park and disc golf, like I could spend a lot of time at Ranta. I didn't even know there was a playground there. Never been there other than to get on a boat. So, I mean, the more, like, I mean, I live on the other side of town, but I would go to a meeting to learn about that if you're telling me a dog park could go there. And I think other people would too, so I'm wondering if that...
We've got a motion. Do we need a second so we can discuss it? John?
Sure, and just to answer that, typically, and there's no hard rule for this, but typically what you do is you come up with a number of concepts. And you develop storyboards, right? And then you have them available for the public. So you go through a public consultation process. So it's really important to go through a public consultation process. And you generally find that you end up making alterations to the plan overall after you've spoken to the public. You know, there's a number of things that you may discover. What will drive our initial meeting will be the kinds of things that we have collected. So people with an interest from dog park, because dog park really isn't mentioned in the parks master plan other than the fact that when the community, you know, sort of identifies a need for a dog park, you would find a spot for it, right? So those are the kinds of, it's very, very vague. So even in the development of a park, well, we're going through it right now with the Libro secondary plan, which, by the way, the public consultation meeting is, I get on my new business, is January 21st. So we're meeting with stakeholders. Well, we're meeting with you tomorrow, right, as a stakeholder for the Libro secondary plan.
News to me.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Maybe I've got my calendar dates mixed up. But
or I didn't get invited. Could be one. Could be either.
But the idea is that, you know, we've developed some of the concepts. We meet with stakeholders. Already they're starting to shape that, and then we'll bring it to the public to get the public consultation period. And then you take it back and you fine-tune it. So the exercise really is that it's very difficult to take a blank slate to the public. I mean, we could very quickly say, what would people generally want? I think we have a good sense of that. And then you'd start to flesh out some of the ideas. So, but what we do would certainly be of a conceptual nature, would be something that we'd want to develop visually so that we can put it to the public, you know, in a public session with storyboards. Storyboards would go on Talk the Berg, you know, and whatever other social media platforms we can do, and then get the public's feedback on that. You could develop a dog park, and the public could say it's the dumbest thing we've ever heard, right? And then you know. I mean, because really all we're doing is a paper exercise at this point.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor that we set up a special meeting. Any other discussion? Those in favor? Okay, motion carried. Kevin, you'll come up with some alternative dates and let us know.
We'll work it out for you.
Okay. I guess we're on to 6.1, review of the tree canopy and natural vegetation protection and enhancement policy. Go.
We're just looking for feedback and comment, and I'm sorry, we're just looking for feedback and comment at this point. If everybody's had a chance to now review, and again, we apologize. I think we had two versions going at one time, although the similarities caused some confusion. But Kevin has done a good job of highlighting the things that we discussed from the last meeting.
Okay, we're looking for a motion that the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee endorse the tree canopy and natural vegetation protection and enhancement policy. A mover? Just so we get a motion on the floor to discuss it. Done. Seconder? Wes? Okay, done.
Overall, I think it's a great job. I just noticed there's a kind of a grammatical error or something wrong in 6.1.1.5 that we'll have to fix. Like, it's probably exposure.
Exposure, yeah.
It happens, right?
Okay, thank you to the former editor.
I finally thought we were going to have some excitement in town. I was looking forward to that.
Thank you.
You do you, Pat.
Yeah. Any other comments? Those in favor of the motion? Opposed? Carried. 6.2, unfinished businesses. This goes with it, Phil? Is that part of it, or do we have to look at that separately?
That was
information. Okay.
And actually, that was already pre-approved, so that work was essentially was done. And I don't think any of us were feeling particularly qualified. It was done by a qualified arborist with support.
Okay. So 6.2, unfinished business list. We've taken care of the tree canopy policies. Feasibility of the ball diamonds at Cody Park. With administration, anything to report on that?
What I have to report is that we've actually got the Lee Road secondary plan. As I said, we're going through the stakeholder. We're getting comments from stakeholders first, then we're going to get comments from the public. That meeting is January 21st. There are two public sessions, so we'll make sure the committee gets that. Then after those comments, we are going to go back to the consultant basically to help us flesh out those comments, and then we are be going to the committees. So we have a number of committees of council specifically that we'll present this to as well for comment. So the feasibility of diamonds at Purdy relates directly to the build out for the Libro secondary plan. The skateboard park relocation also has those concepts are in that secondary plan. And investigating the dog park is actually on the Ranta side. That's not part of that plan. I thought there was one more.
That's seven. Recommendations of $75,000?
No, that's what we just did.
We discussed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to be ongoing as well.
Okay.
I guess it was those two elements. So... So items 2 and 4 are still ongoing, and we will expect that this committee, as well as other committees, and the secondary plan consultation period will help address some of that. Number 3 is ongoing. We've got a meeting that we're going to deal directly, perhaps, with the development of dog park. So we'll keep that item. I think we have the garden card program. Is complete from the last meeting, and leadership awards as well.
Kevin?
Yeah, we just mentioned during the work plan that we might want to bring up elements to try and include in here. Community engagement, program goals, and outreach as part of our 2020 work plan, and then early engagement with schools, because we felt that we didn't want the leadership boards to come sort of at the last minute and be scrambling. And then community engagement for the garden card was about getting people to know that there is this program and promoting that. We did talk about it at the last meeting, but I didn't know if the committee wanted to set further goals. That's why I put it on the unfinished business. If you feel it's dealt with, then we can definitely stray from there. But I just didn't want it to get lost in the mix.
We definitely need to highlight it more and make the public aware of it, because everybody's surprised when you talk. I assume that's the same reaction everybody else got. When you go up and talk to somebody, they looked at you, they had no idea that the program or anything. So I think we have to look at that. The leadership awards, that's being changed, is it not, that council would now endorse endorse the selection presented by the schools?
Yeah, so basically, because it should be going through council, they'll have the option on whether they delegate that back to the committee to go into, or whether they want to take that option. But in all deference to them, we should probably provide them that opportunity first. And that side, I think we can deal with pretty early. But I think the early engagement with schools was about, I think it was raised that maybe from Shirley during the period last year, that she felt that sometimes they didn't understand why they were receiving the award, or it wasn't clear. And so she felt that there was some engagement we could have with the schools to try and reinforce what the purpose behind them was, raise some prestige from it.
Yeah, if we're going to get the council involved in it, we're going to have to contact the schools probably in April, and that would be very difficult for them to provide some of that information. Perhaps not. You're grade 8, so you've already told kids who have been leaders over the years, because we'd have to go to council in May to be available for June. Maybe we couldn't wait till a June council, maybe after some graduations.
Yeah, they could decide whether they wanted to be there personally or whether they wanted the committee to be there earlier on, and then once we candidates in which schools, then that would be a logistics challenge.
But, yeah. I also think we should develop some form of a script, or at least a better description, so that people know what the awards are for. Because, again, I found with a lot of the schools, they didn't know why they were selecting these people. That they focused on the word leadership, and there was no other. It wasn't fleshed out very well. Peter?
Further to that, is there not an information sheet given to each school, to their teachers? This is an award that's going to be handed out either by Parks and Rec Committee at the end of the year for a grade 8 student, or a counselor if council still chooses. This is the kind of the guidelines that we're looking for, strong attributes of the candidate, and is there not something that we could give to the grade 8 teacher, even or to the principal, to make sure that they're, or the rest of the staff, to pay attention throughout the year to see how this individual developed as a leader in the school. Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one previously that exists. I don't have the depth of experience with the committee that some members may have, but we could definitely develop one if that was the will of the body.
Yeah, there should be a communication. Communication goes out to the school, explains the program, here's the criteria, and so on, and that here's the contact person, et cetera, et cetera. Then they would have a better idea. I mean, you get into school awards, and a lot of times school awards are given because you've given somebody else an award, and that kid deserved an award, and you didn't have anything else to give them, so they get picked. And that's up to the school, I think, to make that decision. But we should at least give them some criteria to give them a guideline for it.
So, Kevin, how are we actioning this then to essentially satisfy the fact that we've got it completed?
So it's up to the body whether they want to sort of pass it on to administration to come up with something, and maybe we can bring it back, or whether they maybe want to put it on the agenda for an upcoming meeting and sort of hash it out then with maybe their own ideas.
I don't think it's that difficult. I think we can direct administration, if that's the will, to just come up with sort of a guideline, a letter that could, any criteria. I mean, I would imagine Rick has got some criteria somewhere that they've used in the past. He may even have a letter or a package that he sent out. I don't know. So that may be the starting point. Is that fine with everyone else? And then they can bring it back to us and we can take a look at it instead of trying to generate it on our own?
Yeah, I just think as long as we leave it as open-ended and maybe a little bit vague because of for what you alluded to, that if it's recreation and leadership, it's a whole encompassing thing that maybe a kid who didn't get a ton of awards or deserves one that they can justify him or he or she getting. I'd sooner see that just because... Again, I went to the school and they had they didn't tell me this person won it, so I assumed that they were leaders and very active, so that's what I said. So I mean, and you might see different things. I would assume that more vague is better. So I agree, it's going to be pretty easy to put together.
Okay, you all set with that?
Yeah.
So I just had a question on in terms of the process now with this, with council having a look at it, and are they going to do it versus are we going to do it? When would that decision be made so that, you know, we can do our own planning if we're going to be attending the graduations?
Yeah, so if I can speak to this, Phil, I don't want to sort of try to...
Actually, I had the same question.
Okay.
Maybe so, in a section of the council meeting I was asleep at.
Sort of what I was thinking was, if you guys make a recommendation tonight to sort of do what you're suggesting in terms of directing administration to do this, part of what we could bring back from that would go to council, and they could approve that format works, the criteria works, and then at that time they could be faced with a decision on whether they wanted to delegate that responsibility.
Okay. Thanks. So
that would be fairly soon, I would imagine.
It is a bit of a scramble, isn't it, at the end when we get a list and saying, hey, we need somebody, you know, to do it this day and so on. So if the more structure we can get in that would help as well for the timelines. So.
Do you have a busy schedule, Pat?
Oh, when you're retired, my God.
You have the same schedule my mom.
The bachelor's on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, golf. It's volleyball twice a week.
I heard it.
Golf.
Nice.
Oh, it's so tough.
It's hard. It's hard. Yeah.
Crushing for everybody.
Yeah. Other than sarcasm, is there any other news? I'm trying to take a look. So you mentioned you had some items?
Just to reiterate the date. So the public open house sessions are January 21st. It would be great if committees, we're going to invite all the committees, but the results of that and the whole package will be coming as an agenda item to each of the committees. This committee, Mayor's Youth Advisory, Accessibility,
Seniors,
yeah. So that'll be something that we'll specifically come back and then we'll take our comments and questions and direction from the committees as we go along.
Any other new business? Peter?
Just want to touch on that tomorrow. I don't know if you guys are aware, but the Amherst project is supposed to be, the engineers are supposed to do a presentation.
Oh, the high school, yeah.
At 6 p.m. I did direct administration in our meeting going into the holidays that I wanted them to investigate and talk to the school board to find out. There was a meeting held on November 22nd, I believe, in regards to joint use agreements with towns with existing infrastructure, meaning all of our grade schools, how to better use them, to let the residents use them, maybe cost save that way, as well as new. I'm not sure what's going to be presented tomorrow, but if you get a chance to attend, I'm going to try to get there. I've got another commitment, but I think it's important that we all get there to see what the school's going to include, and hopefully there's some kind of a drawing for exterior amenities. So my direction was to investigate partnership with the school board in regards to exterior infrastructure, maybe recreational, whatever that may include. So we'll see.
And actually, that report is coming to council on the 13th, on Monday the 13th.
Okay.
Joint use agreement. The joint use agreement concept and basically the breakdowns in the schools that we know that we would have some programming elements for. So that'll be before council.
With existing schools, I'm more
right.
in particular with the new school bill.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm going. I understand. So.
Well, I think once we have the joint use agreement, we're fashioning it so it's not specific. We're trying to develop it so that it's not specific to a school, even though we've got scheduling for schools that we're going to lay out for council. I think the idea is generally once you have the joint use agreement with board A and board B, that you would have that agreement. So,
okay.
And if you don't see it there, because as I'm thinking through the report, then that certainly would be a comment we'll be expecting for Monday night.
Any other items?
Do we know? When on the 21st, do we have that nailed down yet? I'm presuming it's at the Libro?
Yeah, at the Libro, we're going to do a morning session, 10 until 1, and in the evening, 6 till 9. Yeah, and I'm sorry, it is at the Libro. Yeah.
Okay, item 8, then the next meeting of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee is the March 11th, 2020, at 6 p.m. Look for a motion for adjournment, moved by Wes, seconded by Peter. Yeah, those in favor? Anybody opposed to leaving? No. Okay, thank you.